Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Rosario Abati, founder of Scriptures for Us. The first thing I want to do is I want to thank everybody for joining in tonight. I know there's some playoff basketball game tonight, and usually when there's playoffs, sometimes we don't get as many callers as we would like to get, but it doesn't matter because these shows are always recorded and archived on the, well, today is Thursday, so hopefully they'll be on there tomorrow in case you have to hang up halfway through. You'll be able to catch up the rest of it tomorrow, and we'll always send out an email telling you exactly how to go about listening to this month's, this day's Bible study. Now, one more thing I'd like to mention. If you're not a member of Scriptures, you don't know very much about our company, then what I suggest you do is, it's real simple. All you have to do is go to our sign-up page. You don't have to sign up, but it'll give you enough information there to kind of like give you maybe enough information so you'll be curious about joining our company or want to join our company. The website is www.scrip.cc. Go there, and there's a whole list of all the things that our company offers people. And if you want to sign up, there's never any obligation, never any fee to join. But just fill out the form there, and you'll automatically get your own personal website. And, you know, you'll have, once you get that, then there's other information on your website that'll tell you everything that you need to know about how to start your own home-based business, okay? Now, our opportunity is very inexpensive, very affordable, it's easy, and it does work. But if you don't participate, then it's next to it. Well, it's going to be impossible for you to earn any money with our company. So seriously, think about what we're offering. I mean, first of all, it's a Christian company that was designed for Christians so that Christians can help each other. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, for when we have opportunity, okay, we have opportunity right now. When we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of the faith. So that scripture is found in Galatians 6:10, and that's encouraging us to have a special love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And every time if you join our program and join one of the auto programs, which are, you know, about 65 cents a day to join, then you can know that you're helping a brother or sister in Christ. Plus, you're helping yourself, giving yourself the opportunity to earn a part-time living, okay? So with that in mind, let's get our study going here. Our study tonight is The Law and the Christian. And the heading is, do we need to keep the law in order to either keep our salvation or to be saved in the first place? Now, before I start, I'd like to just say a little short prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that you've given us to study your word. You said thy word is truth. So whatever we're going to be studying tonight, we know that it must be the truth because it comes from your word. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, anybody can participate. Anybody can ask a question during or after the show. Now, if anybody has a question now before we start, all you need to do is to press 1 on your touchtone phone, and we'll put you on the air, and you can either give a comment or you can ask a question. We'll give, you know, about 30 seconds to see if anybody signs on. Okay, there's someone here.
Can you close my door? Hello.
Pardon me? Hi.
Hi, this is Jeanette.
Oh, hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Rosaria. How are you?
Good. How about you? I didn't get your email till today. Otherwise, I would have been
okay
on your Bible study yesterday, so I apologize.
Not a problem. Not a problem. And the reason why I just chimed in is to find out, it was Galatians, what was it, 6? Or I didn't get the...
Galatians 6:10. As we therefore have opportunity, Let us do good unto all men, especially those that are in the household. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Yep, thank you.
Appreciate you listening. All right, let's get started with the Bible study, the law and the Christian. Now, the first thing that we want to understand is what does the Bible mean by the law, okay? Now, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know what that means. They just, you know, somehow throw that word around, the law, and don't really know what it is, okay? Now, as far as the Bible is concerned, the law is the first five books of the Bible. All the laws that Israel was commanded to do are found in the first five books of the Bible. Now, the law also includes, not only, but it also includes the Ten Commandments, okay? Now, we don't have time to read all the laws because there's 630 laws that the Jews had to keep in order to receive the blessings that came from God, all right? So we don't have time to read all those laws. So we'll just basically concentrate on the Ten Commandments because most people know that that's part of the law, okay? Now, the question is, do we as believers, are we under the law since we're members of the body of Christ and we're not members of Israel? Are we required somehow to keep the law in order to be saved or remain saved? Well, that's what we're going to try to find out tonight. Well, the first scripture I want to bring you to is found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. See, now the first thing we have to find out about the law is what are the demands of the law? In other words, in our own country, okay, we have laws. Now, what laws are we under? Are we under only certain laws? In other words, if you steal from somebody or break in their house, but you didn't break any other law besides that one, you know, is the court going to say, well, you only broke that one law, so I'll let you go? No, of course not. But the whole idea is we are required to keep all of our laws, okay? So let's find out what God required Israel, and if we're under the law, us as well. Okay, it's found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So the requirements of the law is that you do all of them. Not just 9 out of 10, or most of them. It always required that you keep all of the laws, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until you die. And if you do that, then God will declare that you lived a righteous life, okay? And then you would be able to enter into heaven by your own deeds, okay? Now, I don't know of anybody in my own personal life that's ever been able to keep all of the laws, let alone the Ten Commandments, okay? But yet there are some people, what they have done with this, because they still want to put people under the law as if this is something that they must do in order to be saved or remain saved. What they do is they water down the law. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. They will say, okay, yeah, God knows. Well, let me back up. Most people that I know will say that, oh yeah, we're not under all of the laws. We're not under the ceremonial laws, such as, you know, what they're supposed to eat, what they're supposed to wear. But we are under the Ten Commandments, okay? Now, what they do with the Ten Commandments, okay, they water down the Ten Commandments, okay? And here's what they do. I'm sure you probably heard it a million times. Well, God knows you can't keep all of the commandments, but at least you should try. And then if you do that, God will honor you at least trying to keep the commandments. See, that's just about as false as you could ever get, okay? Because, number one, what you're doing without realizing it is that you're watering down the law. Now what you're saying, as we just read, you know, God commands you to keep all things written in the law. Now what you're taking what God says and you're watering it down and as if God is going to say, well, yeah, I know you can't keep all of the laws, but if you keep most of them, then I'll honor that, okay? Well, where does God draw the line? I mean, is he going to say, well, if you kept 51% of the laws most of the time, then I'll say you lived a good life? What about 50-50? Then what are you going to do? See, no, the law has not changed one bit from day one, okay? Adam had one law, don't eat off the tree, and he wasn't able to do that. God didn't tell Adam, go back into the garden, you know, and start all over again. I'll forgive you this time. Try, give it another try. No, he cast him out of the garden. Okay? It's that simple. God's standard of righteousness has not changed. It's always and always will be 100%. Let's say that you were taking a test and the professor or your teacher said, well, there's 100 questions on this test, and in order to pass the test, you must answer all of them correctly. What happens if you only answer? What happens if you answered 99 out of the 100 correct? Would you pass? No, of course not. You're not going to pass because you didn't do exactly what the passing score was, and that was 100%. Okay, so I hope that people understand at least that part. Well, let me go back to the Bible here. Okay, now. Here's another thing that people do. Those that try to put you under the law, and if you don't know what the Bible says about the law, it says the law is the ministry of death and condemnation. And the reason it's death and condemnation is because no one's able to keep it. Okay? And God is not about to lower his standards of what he calls righteousness to meet man's inability to keep the law. Okay? He doesn't compromise. It's always the same. And we'll get to the solution eventually, okay, towards the end of this lesson, okay? Now, people that say, well, Paul, you know, when he said we're not under the law, he meant only the ceremonial laws or the other laws that are written in the Old Testament. But we are to keep the Ten Commandments, okay? But let's find out what Paul said, exactly what the law is. First of all, let's find out what he said about the law. Now, I'm on the computer. I don't use a Bible. I use the one online, so it takes me sometimes a little longer to get to the scripture I want to go to, so be a little patient with me. But let's go to Romans chapter 7. I hope people are writing these down. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 4. This is what Paul says our relationship with the law is, okay? Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law, see, dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. See, so we're not married to the law, okay? Even to him is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit unto God. See, so the law is not going to, we're not going to be able to bear fruit to God by trying to keep the law. For when we were in the flesh, now remember what I just said, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, see, the law stirs up sin, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I would not have known sin but by the law. For I would have not known lust or covetousness except that the law said, thou shalt not covet. Now, to those that say, well, Paul means we're not under the law, he doesn't mean the Ten Commandments. He means only the ceremonial laws and the other food laws. But right here, he says he would have not have known the law, okay, except thou shalt not covet. Is not thou shalt not covet one of the laws? It sure is. Yep, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. So Paul includes what he says is being the law, thou shalt not covet. See, so it's very clear, okay, that believers, okay, are to put our faith in Christ and not our faith in the law. Now, let me get back to what I said earlier in verse 5. When we were in the flesh, okay, now the reason I wanted to say that is because it's a past tense word. See, someone who's in the flesh is not a believer. And let's prove it going down to Romans chapter. Where is it at now? Oh, yeah. This is Romans 8:8. But you are. Be in you. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. See, so Paul is telling you that as a believer, you are not in the flesh. Okay, you're not in the old man anymore. You're a new creature in Christ, okay? So that's what Paul meant in chapter 7, when he says, when you were in the flesh, before you were saved, okay? But now that we're saved, you know, in the beginning of that chapter, he says that we're not under the law. Well, actually, any believer is not under the law, period, okay? Now, I won't go there, but if you go to, want to write this down, 1 Corinthians 15, chapters 15, 56, it says, for the power of sin is the law. See, so when you try to keep the law, believe it or not, you're giving sin power. Here's a good example. Let's say you have a really nice lawn, and, you know, you see kids walking by your house every day, and you don't want them to step on the lawn. So what do? You put a sign out front: "Do not step on this lawn." What do you think is going to happen? As soon as they see that sign, see, it's going to stir sin up in them, believe it or not, and then they're going to want to walk on your lawn. How many times have you been at a construction site? And you see a hole there, and it says, do not look in this hole. Well, just by them putting that there, doesn't it make you want to look in that hole? See, that's what the law does, okay? It makes you want to break the law, okay? So when you try to keep the law, then all you're going to do is find out that all you're going to do is be a law breaker, and you're not going to be able to do what you want to do. And if you read Romans chapter 7, Paul gives you a whole, we won't read there, but Paul gives you a whole purpose, okay, of why he, as a believer, why he couldn't keep the law. He tried. He believed that when he first became a believer, now that he has the Holy Spirit, now he somehow believed that he was now able to keep the law. But read Romans chapter 7, the whole chapter, and it tells you what happened to him when he tried to keep the law, okay? He found out something totally different than what he expected. And if Paul had that problem with the law, then when we try to do the same thing that Paul did, then you can bet your bottom dollar you're going to have the same problem that Paul had. And we don't want to do that. We want to live by faith in Christ and not by trying to keep the law. We should always know and want to know that we're always acceptable to God, not because we're trying so hard to be righteous or try so hard to be a good Christian or trying so hard to be a good person or helping somebody across the street. No, we're always and only acceptable to God and pleasing to God because of what Christ has done for us. He gave us, when we believed, God gave you the only pleasing life that has ever and will ever live. That's the life of Christ. And if we go back to the book of Matthew, we hear a voice from heaven when Jesus was getting baptized, "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He never said that about anybody else except Adam before the fall. Okay, but something else happened after he fell. Then he no longer was pleasing to God. But Jesus never failed. He lived the whole law. He did everything that God commanded him to do from birth until death. So God pronounced his life a righteous life and a life that was pleasing to him. Now, when you receive Christ through the Holy Spirit, and this is something that we should all know and believe, when God gives you that life, okay, God treats and regards you, let me repeat that, treats and regards you as if you yourself are living that life, even though you're not and never will be able to. That's why we're called and encouraged to walk by faith, not by sight. What we're doing in our human nature is not what God says we are in Christ. They contradict each other. That's why you need to use faith to believe what God says you are in Christ. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to start judging yourself according to the life that you're living in the flesh or as a human, okay? Nobody can live a life that Christ lived as a human. You can't do it, okay? That's why God had to give you that life. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to accept you. Now, if you read Colossians, we won't go there, but it says this, and I hope that you get a dictionary out and look up this one word that's in there. In Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says this, "For we are in Christ, we are complete in him." Now, if you look up the word complete, I hope you do, write it down, get out a dictionary, a regular dictionary, and look up the word complete, and that's what God says you are right now in Christ. Let me bring that one step further. In fact, I'll go there. I didn't write this down as one of the scriptures, but I want to go to this scripture, and it's about time that we start believing what God tells us, okay? Because it just seems that we're being told things that just are not true, okay? This is in 2 Corinthians 5. We'll start at 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Okay, you're not the same person you were before. You're a new creature. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things that are, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us." That means he's brought himself back to, he did it, "reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now listen closely, to wit, that God was in Christ." Now we all believe that, right? Now what was God doing in Christ? Here's the next thing, okay? "God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Why do we argue with that scripture? I mean, isn't that what it says? God is reconciling means peace. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciler, making peace with us. How did he do that? Not counting our trespasses against us. And if God is not counting our trespasses against them, against us, then why do we allow others to count our sins against us? Or why do we allow even ourselves to impute? See, the word impute means to count. Impute sins against us. It's against Scripture, okay? God is not holding your sin against you anymore. Why? Because Christ died for all your sins. Now, to those that sometimes tell me, "Yeah, well, Jesus, yeah, he died for all your sins, but not your future sins." So what you have to do, every time you sin, now you have to ask God to forgive you, okay? Well, I just asked them one simple question. When did Jesus die for all your sin? Well, of course, they'll say, "Well, you know, over 2,000 years ago." Okay, how many of those sins that he died for then were future? Anybody have an answer? That's one on your touchtone phone. How many of your sins were future when Christ died? That was before you were even born. When did he die for all your sins? Well, the answer is obvious. All of them. He died for all your sins 2,000 years ago. 2017 years ago. That's why God could say what he did in 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we should be saying, praise God, that he's not going to count my sin against me anymore, and that Christ paid the full price of my sin, which is death. And there's only one penalty for sin, folks. It's called death. For the wages of sin is death. Jesus came to earth to save us from death, okay? Which came upon us by the disobedience of Adam, not by our choice. No one dies by choice. We die because of what Adam did to us. Now, let's get back to the law here. All right. Now, what's the purpose of the law? See, we have to find out, we know what the law is, but what's the purpose of the law? It must have a purpose, right? Turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. I think we all know this already, but it's good to, you know, remind ourselves of what we're really supposed to believe. This is Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. In other words, justified means to be declared innocent. So the law, and by us trying to keep the law, is not going to justify us. In fact, in Rome, in Galatians, Paul says this: those who are trying to be justified or declared innocent by the law have fallen from grace. In other words, you're not living by grace anymore. Now you're trying to live your life by law. You can't live by grace and law at the same time. You're either living by one or the other. But if you're trying to live by law, then you've fallen from grace. You're not living by grace. Okay? And all you're going to experience is a failure, guilt, and condemnation. All right, let's read the next verse. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, so the law was given to show mankind what he couldn't do. Not what he could do, but what he can't do. Now, here's a good example of how weak man really is, which some people don't want to acknowledge, okay? If we go back to when the Hebrews were released from Egypt, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And then what happened is Moses went up to the mountain. Well, let me back up. During that period of time of them wandering through the desert for 40 years, okay, they were always griping about everything, griping about the water, griping about this and griping about that, you know. And then Moses would always go before God. And he told them that the people are griping about the food, you know. So that's when God sent the manna from heaven. Now, here's what God said about the manna. You know, you can eat the manna, pick the manna, and eat it for 6 days. But on the seventh day, you're not allowed to pick it. And if you do, it'll go spoil. Now, what do you think they did on the seventh day? Did they obey God? No, they always still tried to pick it. They still tried to pick, okay, the manna on the seventh day. So, like Adam, they couldn't even keep one law, okay? Hold on 1 second. Now, here's a funny thing about that. The reason I'm bringing that up, listen to this. They couldn't keep one law, couldn't keep the law of the manna. And then Moses goes on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And then God tells Moses, go to the elders of Israel and show them the commandments, and I will make my covenant with them if they agree. Okay? But God actually asked them to agree to that. That's how the covenant is, when you agree to do something and you agree with God. Now, here's what they said. They looked at the commandments and they said, oh, no problem. We will do all that God says. See? It didn't take them long to forget about how they couldn't even keep the one law of the manna. And what were the people doing when Moses was getting the law on the mountain? They were making, weren't they making a golden calf? See? She says the whole purpose of the law was to show how weak man really is, okay? We're a lot weaker than we realize. And sometimes people are trying to make us somehow believe that now that we're a Christian, that we have the power to keep the whole law. And I've had people even tell me that. You know, that's, to me, that's just a one big liar. They're deceiving themselves, okay? Okay, the demands of the law. Now, so here we see the law given to Israel. For, so we have 1,250 years of history where the Israelites couldn't keep the law. They were always breaking the law. That's why they always were being taken over by other nations, because they didn't keep the law that God, you know, asked them to keep. I'm talking about the whole law now. And God told them, when you break the law, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring, you know, the certain animal sacrifices that they had to bring. Well, here's what they were doing, and we read it in Matthew, and this is why Jesus turned over the tables. You know, God told, you know, the high priest that they're to bring a lamb without spot and without blemish. Of course, that's a portrait of Christ. He was the lamb without spot and without blemish. But what were they doing in the temple? They were selling all the animals, okay, that they wanted to get rid of to other Jews, you know, telling them that to offer these up for sacrifices. See, that's why Jesus turned over the tables, you know. See, right there they were breaking the law. You don't bring an animal that has blemishes. You don't try to sell that animal to another Jew and ask him to offer up that as a sacrifice, because that's not what God commanded them to do, okay? So we can see why God called Israel stiff-necked. They never did anything right, you know, because they're sinners like we are. All right, let me do one more thing so we can find out what's, all right, God did all these things with the law, and they all sound kind of negative. What was God trying to mock us, you know, in some way? That, oh, Jesus could keep the law, but, you know, you should be able to do the same thing. What's wrong with you? No, God had a glorious purpose for the broken law. And let's find out exactly what that is, okay? Turn to Galatians. Galatians, where is it at? Okay, Galatians. Galatians 2:16 says this, okay? Knowing that a man is not justified by the law, we always should know that, but by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified or declared innocent. See, so we're saved by what Christ has done for us, not by the law, okay? Now here, let's find out exactly what Paul says, and this is the end of the lesson, by the way. Let's find out exactly what God says about the law and what it did for us, okay? It condemned us, but it also did something else too. And to me, this is just fantastic. It's found in that same book, Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 23. Now listen closely. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, set up unto faith, which should come afterwards, it should be revealed. Now listen closely. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, or our teacher. So it had a purpose, okay? Now here it is. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, or our teacher, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. See, in other words, the law is going to show you what a failure you are. That, in turn, is going to bring you to Christ. Isn't that why we received Christ in the first place? Our life was one big failure. Okay? That's how you came to Christ in the first place, okay? The only place you could go. You knew you couldn't be justified by the way you were living. At least I hope not. Now, listen to this. But after faith has come, in other words, after you're saved, we are no longer under the law. We are no longer under the schoolmaster. So why, if that's true, and it is, then why do people continually tell you that you have to keep the law when the law has already done its job? Okay, its job was to bring you to Christ so that you could be justified by faith. And now that that happened and you're saved, the law has no purpose whatsoever in your life. It's done its job. It's finished. Does everybody understand that? If you don't, press 1 on your touch-tone phone and I'll try to explain it further. I guess everybody understands it. Well, all right, that was the last scripture I wanted to bring to you. But I hope now you understand that you're not under the law, that you understand why God gave the law, and eventually what the law did to bring you to Christ. So if anybody has any questions now, just press 1 on your touchtone phone, and I'll be able to answer your question. Or if you want to give a comment, that's fine too. Well, nobody wants to ask a question. That's fine. Okay, well, either I did a good job or maybe everybody's confused. I don't know. But if you have any questions about this lesson, you know, you're more than welcome to call me and I can talk to you privately. You know, the phone number is toll-free, 1-844-246-6760. Now, I know this might have been a little bit hard for some people to follow along, but if you wrote down all those scriptures, okay, and you listen to this lesson a couple more times, because you'll get an email, and it'll be on your site, and you can listen to it more than once. And if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to call me as many times as you want until you completely and clearly understand this. Because once you understand that you're totally and completely justified and made acceptable to God and are pleasing to God only and always by what Christ has done plus nothing, okay, then you're going to not be walking around trying to please God when he says you already are pleasing him. I hope that makes sense to anybody. But in the meantime, thanks for listening. God bless each and every one of you. Look for your email if you want to send people to this lesson for them to listen to 24/7. Just send them to the link and they'll be able to listen to that particular lesson and all the other. I see somebody has a question here.
Thank you, Rosario. I'm sorry. That was awesome.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. God bless.
Well, yeah. Once we understand our true relationship with the God, it does free us, because we just We have a natural tendency to try to do good, try to keep the law. That's not walking by faith. That's walking by experience. And I'll tell you, This is my testimony, okay? I always tell people very simply, Paul tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, what you should do, what you must do, if you want to walk around with a clean conscience and be blessed by God every day, every moment, then take the word try and replace it with the word trust. Trust God.
Yes.
That he's going to live his life in and through you, just like he did in Jesus. And we have all the scriptures, but I don't know why people don't believe what they say. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? And do not lean upon your own understanding. And always acknowledge him, and he will guide your path. You know?
Yes.
It seems that we want to do everything on our own, while God just hoping that we make the right decision. Anything
yes.
else you want to ask me?
No, that was, it's so true. And oftentimes when you finally surrender and just
right.
allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, it just happens a lot. Just the flow is a lot easier. You know, you just, you can live your day knowing that he's just guiding you, but you have to trust.
Yeah.
And sometimes,
but you know what?
And sometimes
you know,
you read the scriptures a couple of times, and it's sometimes you read it, and it's the third time that you get it. And that's why you're
right,
supposed to
absolutely.
Read it often.
It might be the 20th yeah. time you read it. Yeah.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
My own experience, I just try to tell people this. You know, when you start living by faith, not worrying about what you're going to do or should do or might do, you know, what happens is when you start living by faith, okay, then by faith you become more like Christ.
Yes.
If you're trying to be like Christ, then you're saying that you're not like Christ already, and that's a state of unbelief.
Right.
You are what you you are what God says you are, in spite of what you think or in spite of what you do, in spite of what someone else might tell you. You are what God
yeah.
says you are, period. And if you don't believe that, then you're calling God a liar.
Right.
I don't want to call God a liar.
No.
All right, dear. Have a
well,
nice weekend.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you, you too.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
God bless.
God bless you too.
Bye.